Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who is that? Believers or pastors or leaders? No, and these who believe. John 14:12, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now there's actually many, many scriptures that prove this out. And they were doing a whole bunch of scriptures over the course of 3 days. And I was sitting there, and they were doing the miracles right in front of you. And then they'd call somebody up out of the congregation and have them do a miracle. You know, somebody who didn't have a clue. And I remember now as they're doing this, this is wrong, okay? My head was going, amen, hallelujah. But my heart was saying, yeah, that's great for you. You're called and chosen, anointed and appointed. You've got the juice, you know. I believed in those days, I really thought there were special people that had these special giftings. And there's the haves and the have-nots. So even though in my pride, you know, what is that? That's pride when you go, amen, like, I knew that, hallelujah. But really, I didn't believe it. So I'm sitting there in unbelief saying amen. That's sin, isn't it? So, but the day came when Charles Hunter called me up. And I'm really thankful this happened. There was a woman there. Now, if you ever went to, in the old days, they all used to do all these charismatic meetings and they'd grow everybody's leg out, where it was really that their hip was out and it was, so it looked like the leg was short. Now, God would still heal it, right? And it would heal back pain, and that's great. But this lady had a short leg, like 4 inches short, okay? So, and this was in the days when people wore dresses and hosiery and, you know, nylons to church. And so he called me up there, and here I am, the new kid, brand new, and he puts this lady in a chair in front of him, and he brings, so here's Charles Hunter, me, and my pastor. And Charles picks up her leg, and he says to me, now, do you see that? I said, yes, sir. I mean, it was clearly 4 inches shorter. And he would joke around. He'd say, now, in the name of Buddha, nothing. You know, in the name of Confucius, nothing. And he'd say, in the name of Jesus. And I watched. Not only did I watch her leg grow out, God arranged it that I happened to be looking at the center of her shin, you know, right the middle between your knee and your ankle. And I watched. You know how if you look at your hand, you can see little cells, the little, where the cells? I watched the cells multiply. I saw them go, and like that, her leg was long. I went, now, back then, I didn't say boo to anybody. I was so shy. And my pastor was extraordinarily reserved. He was British, from British Honduras. You know, you just did not walk up and hug my pastor. And I literally grabbed him and was dancing around the front because I was so amazed at what I just saw. I mean, I saw a miracle, a creative, in-your-face miracle, and it changed me. I knew God did them. I believed in it. But boy, to see it like that, wowee, it was just something else. So my point with that is, that particular miracle was done. There's many, many ways. I'm only going to talk about probably three today, but there's many ways that God does miracles. And one of the simplest is through faith in his word, simply believing his word and actively going after it with him. You know, sometimes if you're fighting for your healing, you know, for me, I have a conversation. Now, you're not fighting with God. God already wants it. You don't fight with God to get your salvation, do you? No. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what you do, your enemy is the devil, maybe the world, maybe your own thoughts, but it's never God. God already wants you healed. Jesus already died, and I'll go into this later, but he already died so that you could be healed, just like he died so you could be saved. He purchased it already. So that particular miracle was done through faith in the word. Now, Edgar and I, when we first got married, we went to this little church in LaSalle, Illinois, very small church. And Edgar, he really didn't teach. He really didn't even preach. He would just tell stories about miracles and real stories that had happened to him. You know, eyeballs growing in heads, you know, crazy stuff. Well, we're brand newly wed, you know, newlyweds. I'm in the back and I'm watching this, and Edgar was an extraordinary man. And I had heard all the stories, but I really hadn't seen all the stuff. And I wasn't prepared for the level of boldness that he walked in. So now he is just sharing his stories, and he stopped in the middle. He said, now, I don't care what I'm doing. If you feel heat in your body, get up here. God's healing you. I don't care if I'm preaching. I don't care what I'm doing. If you feel heat, get up here. So he goes along. He's telling stories, and this man who's in the second row gets up, and he has a special shoe, built-up shoe. He has a four-footed cane, and he would take a step, move the cane, and drag his other leg, okay? I didn't know him or his story, but he said he had heat in his body. Now, here's me in the back. Edgar takes this guy's cane, and he goes, you don't need this anymore. And I'm in the back thinking, oh. You know, carnal me, I'm thinking, lawsuit, you know? And Edgar, in his booming, big, you know, kind of scary voice, big booming voice, he says, walk. You know, like he points, he goes, walk. And the guy goes, but. And Edgar says, there's no buts in the kingdom, walk. And he commands this guy to walk. And the guy walks. He walks across. Now, we don't know anything about him. So he comes back the next day, and he's wearing two normal gym shoes, no cane. We see him out in the parking lot walking in. I wish we should have brought, I don't know where it is, we have it somewhere. This guy brought us his framed doctor's report that showed the picture of his vertebrae and what was wrong with him. He had fallen off a two-story roof. He had broken his back. He brought to the next night's meeting the, remember the olden days of older overhead projectors? He brought the before and after x-rays. The before picture, I don't remember how many surgeries, but he had these metal rods that went like this so he could move they held his spine up, and they could move his spine that way. So he gives his whole testimony, and he gave that to us as a gift, that framed picture. And then at the end of his testimony, he said, I never thought I'd do this again. I thought, what's that about? So at the end I said, Kevin, what's up with your wrist? He said, oh, well, I've had a metal pin in my wrist for 2 years. I haven't been able to move my wrist. So to this day, I don't know if God took the metal out or if he just made it bendy, but either way, that's a pretty good miracle. Yeah. So now, I want to read this to you, because that particular gift, I believe, happened through the gift of working in miracles, okay, which was something that operated through Edgar a lot. I have seen it. It can operate through any of us. Any of the nine gifts can operate through any of us, okay? When God sees a need, if you're available, he'll use you, okay? But your gifting or your calling, you may be prone to certain gifts more than others. I'm much more prone to word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And I won't get into it, but Catherine Kuhlman, you know all the miracles she had? Some of you may know her. Someone said she had the gift of working in miracles, but honestly, every time I've seen her, and I've seen some whopper miracles in watching her meetings, she's operating in word of knowledge. She'll call him out. That guy in the back, he's getting new hearing. You know, his hearing is opening up. She had a guy came to her meeting, a reporter. He came to expose her. He was going to write bad things about her. And she picked up on it in the spirit. And she pointed at him and said, somebody's getting a new leg. The guy had a false leg from the knee down, and he gets a new leg. I wonder what that article looked like. Write that, Buster. So she was operating through the gift of word of knowledge, because a word of knowledge is a message from heaven, but it's not a prophecy. Some people say, you know, they want me to prophesy. Well, it's very rare that I prophesy unless I'm actually preaching. Okay, that's a prophetic flow. But what I'm usually doing is word of knowledge with word of wisdom, okay? So, and anybody can use any of these gifts. And to be brutally honest, I was healed by a lady that I never saw her before or since. I was radically healed by a word of knowledge. And I said, Lord, I want to help people the way that lady helped me. And that's, God said, okay. You know, and I got to work in word of knowledge. It's that simple. God is, he's so gracious. So I want to talk a little bit about these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 starts in verse 4. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So this is to bless everybody. To one is given word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same, meaning the gift of faith that I talked about, through the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Do you ever see a guy? We knew a guy in Ohio. Now, he got all kinds of miracles going, But his primary one he was known for was hearing, you know, deaf ears opening. And he was a riot when he did it, remember him? He was an old Pentecostal holiness guy. And he talked really funny, and he would stick his fingers in their ears, and he'd say, "Thou foul, deaf and dumb spirit, come out," and it did. And then he'd say, "Lord, recreate the eardrum," in case there was something missing. And man, you just saw like that. Now, other things got healed too, but that was a gift of healing for a certain thing. All right. Hallelujah. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Lori operates really, really amazingly in discerning of spirits. And I just want to say this. Jesus operated in all these regularly. And there are times in the Bible where you see that somebody got healed, but really it was because he cast a devil out. And we shared on this with you, a couple months ago, about a person that was having what looked like epileptic seizures, but he cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. He discerned a deaf and dumb spirit. When he cast it out, they were healed. And my question is, were they really healed, or were they just bound by a spirit? I don't think they had a physical problem. A spirit can cause a physical malady to behave. Okay, so another, different kinds of tongues or diversities of tongues, and another, the interpretation of tongues. So in the case I talked about in LaSalle, that was done by the gift of working of miracles. The third way, I know you've probably heard this story, but we were at the women's retreat. And the reason I love this story is that nobody did this one but Jesus. This was some years ago. And a woman came that I didn't know her. And I knew her friend brought her. She was sitting in the front row, and I was just puddling along on the keyboard. And we were just loving on the Lord and just enjoying his presence. And I didn't even know this happened to her. I didn't know there was anything wrong with her. I didn't know her name. To be honest, I had my eyes shut. Half the time, I didn't know who's in the room. Just saying. And something hit her, and she literally went, "Oh, no, what now?" Because she wasn't familiar with the presence of God. And she'd been through so much attack in her life, and it was about her bladder. They wanted to take it out. She had she had lost the use of her bladder to where she could only have about an ounce of liquid, so she'd lived dehydrated for about 7 or 8 years. She'd lost her job over it, couldn't go on mission trips. She loved mission trips. And just in the presence, just as we were just loving on God, the presence came, something hit her body, and she got a brand new bladder. And she said after that she could drink one of those whole 16-ounce bottles of water before bed and sleep 8 hours. Pretty good. The reason I love that testimony is, if you think about it, nobody prayed for her. It looks to me like she wasn't in faith, because she was shocked when something hit her, like, what was that? Oh, no. You know, she wasn't expecting a miracle. We didn't pray. We didn't know. We certainly didn't do it. That tells me the presence alone. If you get high enough in his presence, or deep enough in his presence, I am persuaded his presence does heal, because that's who he is. Just being in his presence heals. Just being in his presence saves. Just being in his presence changes, because you're now in his world, not ours. Because a miracle, think about this. Jesus was, the definition of a miracle by a lot of people who discuss this is that it's the reversal of a natural law. In other words, something that cannot happen, like Lazarus was dead, the man was dead. Dead people don't get up. So this is, for him to get up, that is the reversal of a natural law. In other words, it can't happen, and yet, oh wait, it did. And so that's the definition of miracle, as opposed to a healing. A healing is, as they went, they were healed. They might not have had a miracle that minute, but as they went, they were healed. In other words, they may have gradually gotten better. It could have taken, Edgar's had a lot of stories, and the Hunters too, about they'd pray with somebody, they didn't look healed, but over time, they got totally healed. And it's still tied back to when they got the prayer or walked in faith. So we don't worry about, oh, see, here's one of the mistakes we say is, oh, I prayed, I didn't get it, and I guess God didn't want to do it. Oh, no. No, keep pressing. Keep just saying, hey, God, bring me into your presence. We've seen stories where angels would come into someone's room, and really, I think it's about helping them get into the presence of God. You know, overcome, because we're all human. People have fears, they have worries, they have symptoms, they have pain. When a person's in pain, that's not so easy, is it? Sometimes you might need someone else to have a little faith, and sometimes God will send angels to bring them into the presence. Boom, they're healed. I just think God's amazing.
Amen.
Okay. So just the scripture I have about the presence in Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching. He was just teaching. He wasn't healing. He wasn't, you know, he was just teaching. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Miracles started because the presence of the Lord just showed up. Because really, he carried it. We carry it. You may not realize this, but you are a carrier of the presence. Our issue isn't that we don't have it, because it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you,
Amen.
Dwells in me. And you might go, well, where is it? Somewhere, right? It's in your born-again spirit. And so our head can't configure it. You can't think your way into this. You can't doctrine your way into it. You can't PhD your way into it. And I'm not saying that stuff's wrong. We need good students. We need good smart people. We need smart people. I'm not one of them. We need them. But what we need is people who can connect to the Spirit through their born-again spirit. And that does take a little bit of learning, right? And so I'm convinced, though, that if we can learn how to come into God's realm, see, I believe that what Jesus did was he saw circumstances. Sometimes we see circumstances and we let it freak us out, right? If a blind guy comes to you and he goes, I hate, you know, and he's all smushed up, and you're like, you know, you're looking at his natural self, and there's everything in the world is going to scream at you, well, that's impossible. Well, yeah, in the natural, that is impossible. However, Jesus had the ability because he knew where he was from. And this is so interesting. I know I say this all the time, but I just think it's good for us to have this. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. In other words, he had limited his natural body to be just like us. Had no ability to heal in his natural body. He said he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. So he was walking, I believe, 24/7 in this open connection and showing us how to do it. He was taking heaven's rules and overriding earth. Like, yeah, I get it. I see that guy's blind. I'm not denying it. However, in heaven, that guy sees. Come on, in heaven, you have a new kidney.
Amen.
In heaven, oh, I just really want to get ahead of my notes. I really do. So we see that miracles can come from faith in the word alone, somebody else's faith. I've seen people that, oh, wait, me. One of the first times I met Edgar, I'd met him like once or twice. He was a stranger. We would do meetings, but I didn't know the guy. And I had been diagnosed with degenerative arthritis. I had pain all day, every day. I had bone spurs, saw the x-rays. And my church had all these famous, famous people with healing power come through, and they would all pray for me, and nothing would happen. And because I wasn't seasoned, okay, my faith level went beer, 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 and I was just like done. And so I had a friend that had been with Edgar in the stadium meetings, and he said, I'm telling you, get up there, because I didn't even want to go up anymore. That's where my faith, I didn't want to go for prayer anymore. You know, because I just felt like, what's the point? Honestly, I just didn't have any faith anymore. But I was tired of being in pain. Oh, Edgar said this weird thing. He said, my hand is getting hot, which was his signal that it was time to be quiet and pray for people. He said, if you need a healing in your body, come up here. And he said, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. And I remember thinking, of all the people I've ever heard talk, I've never heard anybody say with such a definite, he knew God would heal. That's outrageous. You know, he didn't say, I'll agree with you, I'll believe with you, I'll stand with you, I'll pray for you. He said, God will heal you. And my friend leaned over and he said, when you know somebody's from God, it's always good to get prayer. And like, oh, okay. Well, I go up there. Now, I know some of you heard the story, but I was the kid that never fell down. You know, you'd see these services where every boom, 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 everybody's falling down, have these glory, nothing. Nothing. Couldn't feel anything. Wanted to. I wanted to have a God encounter, but I was never a faller downer. It took me years to figure out why. Now here's Edgar, guy I don't know, with the red hand. And I went up with zero, I'm talking about zero faith. And he was in the spirit. Now that I recognized. And he looked at me and said, funny thing, but you know God will heal you. And he reached around just with the tip of his finger and thumb, reached around and went shoop down my spine. And I went flying backwards like I got hit by a freight train. I'm not sure, but I think I probably knocked the catcher over. That was in 93. I was healed utterly and completely, and I'm still healed. I've never had that again. Think how many, what's that, 32 years? Well, I'm just embarrassing how old I am. So what I'm saying is, it's amazing to watch. My point was, someone else's faith, hey, as long as somebody's doing faith somewhere, we can get healed. So there's gifts, as we talked about, the gifts of healing, faith, working in miracles, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Where's my page? Okay, I'm missing my little music stand. So let's just go through this. One of the things, I'm in the wrong order. In the body of Christ, I know there's a lot of everybody, there's every kind of belief we have. Some people don't think God heals anymore. They think that ended after the apostles. They're wrong. I love them, but they're wrong. Then there's some people who think God heals occasionally, you know, when he wants to. He wakes up, he's having a good day. Maybe you were good enough. You're never good enough, okay? You've been made perfect and righteous and holy by the blood of the cross alone. And if you were considered holy enough for him to save you, right, it's only his holiness that we have. That's all we have. But you have that same thing to be healed with. You don't earn it, and you can't talk him out of it. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but so some people think God just only heals when he wants to, and we have to beg him. There's no begging of God. He's already signed and sealed it. And what I mean by that is, many years ago, I started hearing people say this phrase, there's healing in the atonement. And I was like, you know what, tilt? And what they meant by that was that they believed that Jesus didn't just die to forgive you your sins and pay for that. He died to pay for your healing at that time. And that means your healing was actually purchased on the cross 2,000 years ago. And that's why you take communion. That's one of the reasons you take communion. And so I was like, I'm one of those people, I have to see it in the word and understand it. I'm not just going to believe it because so-and-so said so. So I did quite a study, and I was spending some time with the Lord asking about it. And I went through Isaiah 53, and I did a long, an in-depth word-for-word study. I'm just going to do the quick version of 53, 4, and 5. Now, the version you may have heard of, it's a little King Jamesy. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, I went through the Hebrew word for word, and this, if I were to write this out, it is saying, surely he has taken or carried our internal and external diseases, afflictions, calamities, and evil, and has borne the heavy load. He dragged himself along carrying our physical pain and sorrow of the soul. Yet we considered him to be stricken, hit, browbeaten, chastised, and killed under the judgment of God himself. In other words, we thought, oh, this guy's a sinner, right? That's what the people thought. You know, he's a bad guy. He's getting his comeuppance. Verse 5, the regular version might say, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But if we wrote out the Hebrew translation, it would say he was profaned, pierced through, and slain for our sin and rebellion. He was crushed, beaten to pieces, broken, and shattered for our perversity, depravity, guilt, and crimes. The chastening, or the correction we deserved, was upon him for our completeness, soundness, safety in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, tranquility, contentment, completeness in relationship, and with his wounds and the blows that he took, we are cured as by a physician, healed of distress, and restored to favor. I'm not sure we really always understand all that he really did. And so why can we have faith? It's not faith if you're begging God, hoping he'll have mercy on you. It's faith if you say, wait a minute, I have a legal covenant document here that says that he died to pay for this. If he died to pay for this, just like my salvation, this belongs to me. I have legal right to come before the Father and say, hey, Jesus paid for this just like he paid for my salvation, Father. I'm expecting you to do something here.
Amen?
Amen? And so when I was asking God, you know me, I asked God a lot of questions. And one of the questions that I had for him was, I was trying to understand, and he said, well, Holly, if the devil came to you, and he said, you're not saved, you'd say, well, of course I'm saved. He would say, well, how do you know? You haven't stood before God. You haven't heard him bang the gavel and say, well done, good and faithful servant. How do you know you're saved? What would you do? I said, well, I'd open the Word, and I'd show him by the Word, and I'd prove to him. You know, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in your heart God has raised from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm saved. Shut up, devil. And God said, but if the same devil said to you, you're not healed, you have a pain in your leg. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you're I got a pain in my leg. I have this terrible thing. Oh, yeah, it's a terrible diagnosis. You see the difference?
Yeah.
And God began to challenge me to, the devil is the devil no matter what dress he's wearing. Just saying. Hallelujah. Okay. That just popped out right there. That just popped right out. Okay. So if this is all true, why don't we see more miracles? Shouldn't we be seeing more? And I know that we've had certain things happen, you know, even globally on TV, where we would just, I've seen stuff where it'd be just creative miracle after creative, just boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom. Church, some churches where they're moving in it a lot, others where they're not moving in it, are just once in a while. And I don't think there's condemnation here, but I was seeking the Lord, like, what gives? What can we do as the body of Christ to receive what he did on the cross? Or to create an environment where miracles are normal? Doesn't that sound fun?
Yes.
Okay, so he gave me a couple scriptures. Well, one I read to you already, he did not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I'm not, I could teach a long time on this, but and I don't want to, but I feel like in general, the body of Christ in America has accepted a lower standard of living when it comes to miracles and healings. And even though we might not call that unbelief, I think unbelief is more the norm, and I'm not condemning anybody. I've had my own battles with this, but I think that it has become fairly normal to not expect miracles, to not expect. Amen?
Yeah.
I saw, well, this is something that he gave me too. Remember when Thomas had trouble believing that Jesus was really raised from the dead? He said, unless I see him, I can believe that. Well, it makes sense in a way. His friends are saying, he was dead, he's alive. Well, that can't happen except, wait, you did see Lazarus, right? You saw that, right? He's probably thinking, well, yeah, but Jesus was standing there to raise him. Who raised Jesus? He's probably thinking it through with his head. Come on. And so, but Jesus, in John 20, remember he says, this is what I love. He doesn't condemn Thomas. He's not mad at him. But he says, put your finger in my hands. Put your hand in my side. See that it is I myself. Like, this is me. And then he said, be not unbelieving, but believing. In other words, he didn't condemn him, but he did correct him. And I feel like there's something of that going on, that God is inviting us to... I saw something today, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but it seemed like a canopy sort of over the body of Christ. Not us, but just, let's say, in America. Like, it was a canopy that has caused a barrier. Do you ever notice that some people can go into the presence and others can't? It's not that anybody's better, but God desires for that barrier to be broken.
Amen.
You know, a friend of mine went to Argentina on a mission trip. And I just got to talk to her, and she said, everyone in the country, she said, I'm talking about everybody. If there's a God thing going on, it doesn't matter if there's sports, it doesn't matter if there's a job, nothing matters but God. Nothing matters. And I'm thinking, you know me, how did that happen? How is it that a country could be so hungry for him? And I think it has to do that the barrier was broken. Partly through prayer and intercession, but partly through people that just kept pulling down the strongholds. You know, because something happened there. They're obviously not under that canopy. Anything goes there. They are hungry for God. And so I believe This is what I think happens. I've had miracles in my own personal body when I would just be laying in bed, and maybe I'd been battling for a month or two or three or four, but I would just be laying in bed, and by the grace of the Lord, I would just go deep in the Spirit. There's a place in Him where you just know it's done. It's not that you worked up your faith. It's not that you talked to yourself. You just know. You just know. And that's the grace of the Lord, but it's in a place. And heaven, by the way, that's our home. Our citizenship is there more than here, but I don't think we've learned how to live there more than here. And so I think God is inviting us. He's not condemning us at all, but to spend time learning how to come into that place to receive for others what they can't. Some people can't. They'll never, you know, honestly, unless somebody helps them, they're not going to get healed, or they may not get saved. Somebody has to help them. And so I feel like God wants for us is to be able to come into that place, just like Jesus did, and get the sight for the blind. You know, get hearing for the deaf guy. Remember the widow with her son, they were doing a funeral. First thing it says, he felt compassion, because he knew, what's she going to do now? See, they didn't have Social Security. She didn't have a pension. That kid was probably her only income, right? He knew that. So he had compassion for her life. So, oh, wait, I think I'll just raise him from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth walked in so many miracles that when, and he was uneducated, he was a plumber, you know? He had to learn to read by learning to read the Bible. And when his wife died, he raised her from the dead. Don't you think about this? And she said, Smith, it's my time to go. There's some things you need to do that I'm not part of. You need to let me go. So he let her go. Now, if that, think about it. Logical hit you in a minute. If it was her time to go, how did he raise her?
Right.
Come on. How do you raise a person from the dead when Jesus said they're coming home? How much authority do we have?
Right.
Just trying to get your thinker going a little. When you look for a miracle, this is one of the tricks I found. It really helps. It's very easy to start looking in your mind's eye, at the negative. It's easy, oh, what if this happens? And then, oh, and then, and you start to spin or spiral on the negative thing that it could be. And especially when you may have a doctor telling you that. Now, thanks be to God, John is a man of miracles. A lot of us have been healed when John laid hands on us, okay? I think John got saved through a miracle, so he knows all about miracles. He's in faith. He's a man of God. But we want to pray for the family that they are able to get in faith and stay there. And one of my tricks is to trick the system, so to speak. Our mind is a bit of a computer. You know me, I did computers. It was my job for many years. And so what you have to do is kind of reprogram it. And one of the ways you can reprogram your thinking, if you were seeing something in a wheelchair, or somebody, let's say the blind guy, you're seeing it, you've seen it, you can't unsee it, right? There's the blind guy, and he's got, you know, no. Edgar had a woman with no eyeballs and no eyelids. And he said his stomach went, he was not in faith at all. He was creeped out. She took off her glasses, and she was in faith. She took off her glasses and flung them. She had the white cane. She threw it because she so believed. She said to her daughter, where is he? The daughter said, you're standing right in front of him. Edgar's stomach just rolled. And yet, he said his hands jumped and his thumbs went in. Now, this is just gross. Gross. His thumbs went in the sockets and he felt something go and he jerked his thumbs away and he watched eyeballs form. He watched eyelids form and she got her sight. Now, admittedly, that's a gift of working in miracles. But what I'm saying is we need to start thinking different. So if we see someone that's blind, our mind wants to process it as they're blind. That's the way that it, you know, our mind wants to dwell on that. But how you can trick the system, and actually it's easier than you might think. You begin to see something that's not possible. You begin to see them saying, hey, look at that. Look at that bird over there. Well, did you see that sign? You begin to picture that. You only have to do it three or four times when pretty soon that's how you see them. So then when it comes time for you to pray for them, it's not hard to see it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.